You to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. We're just going to read about 5 verses to begin with in this chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse number 1. Read along with me. Find your Bible. Get up off your couch. Go grab your Bible. You know where it's at on your dresser. We'll wait just a second. You can come right back. I'll wait on you. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse number 1. He says, "Then David said, 'This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel.' And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God." Notice verse 3. "And David prepared." What did David do? He prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians. And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. Notice this, I will therefore now make preparation for it." So David prepared abundantly before his death. I want to preach on this thought this morning for just a few minutes, preparing abundantly before you die. Preparing before you die. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come before you in prayer today. Lord, I wish that this house could be full of people this morning. Lord, I trust that those that can't be here are watching. Lord, I pray that we'd encourage them and giving them your word. Lord, help us to prepare. Lord, we may not be here today, but we can prepare to meet our God. Prepare before we die. Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, I want to preach on just a simple thought this morning. Preparing abundantly before death. I want you to understand what we're reading right now. The books of 1 and 2 Chronicles give us a history that covers and begins with the life and the reign of King David. And the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles extend from the life and reign of King David all the way down through the lines of the kings after him until the Babylonian captivity, whenever Israel was taken away into captivity. So 1 and 2 Chronicles are historical books, and they cover from David all the way past Solomon and past all the kings until the Babylonian captivity of Israel. I want you to understand something about these books. In our Old Testament, we have the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. We have the books of 1 and 2 Kings, and then the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles. The books of 1 Samuel and 1 Kings, they also cover the life and ministry of David all the way down to the Babylonian captivity. So understand this, that 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, they cover the same period in history as 1 and 2 Chronicles covers. So really, these books are sort of repetitive of the same history. So my question is this, if God covers the same history in Samuel and Kings as he does in Chronicles, then why does he put them all in the Bible? You need to understand that God puts the books of the Chronicles in the Bible because they cover the same history through a different perspective. Just as the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John cover the same life of Christ from different perspectives, these books cover the history of Israel from different perspectives. The books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, they cover the history of Israel from a political standpoint. But the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, they cover the history of Israel from a religious and a spiritual standpoint. They go past just the kings. They go past the wars. They go past the genealogies. And they go to what is important. They go to how God is involved in the history of Israel and the house of God and what these kings did to please God or to not please God. Friend, can I remind you today that we live in a nation that is going through a lot of turmoil today. We're in a divided nation. And friend, may I remind you that it's not just for political reasons, but there is a deeper reason behind that. That is a spiritual reason. Friend, if you are just gathering your information from Fox News or CNN, can I say, first of all, bless your heart if that's all you're gathering from. But friend, can I say this? The reason that our country is going through what it is going through today is not just political, but it is more than that, spiritual. Friend, can I tell you that this book right here is going to tell you a whole lot more about the condition of our nation than any newspaper or any news article is going to tell you about our nation. Friend, I am more concerned with what is coming from our pulpits than what is coming from our president. Friend, so as our churches go, so will our nation go. Friend, we need the spiritual perspective today in our nation. That is what we find in 1 Chronicles. These books are all concerned with God and the house of God and how Israel as a nation treated God. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, we are nearing the end of the life of King David. His ministry is about to be passed down to his son. At this point in 1 Chronicles, David has already lived a great and a full life. At this point, David has already won many victories for the Lord and in the name of the Lord. Also at this point, David has failed the Lord many times and has brought shame to his name. But friend, I want you to understand that although David had already failed many times at this point, the Lord was not done with David. We know that there was one great task that God would give to David before he died. He would give him the task of preparing for the building of the house of the Lord. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Look in verse number 1. 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass, as David sat in his house, that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Lo, I dwell in an house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains.'" In other words, David, there was a point in his life whenever he was sitting in his grand and glorious house, and he said, "What am I doing sitting here whenever God is dwelling in a tent and God's covenant, his ark of the covenant, is sitting behind curtains? What am I doing sitting here instead of preparing a place for God?" And of course, David knew that God is much bigger than a temple or a tabernacle, but he realized the importance of preparing not just for his house, but for God's house. We know in chapter 17, God told David that David would not be the one to build God's house because of his past, but David would have the privilege of preparing for God's house. So that's what David did. David began to prepare some things. Look in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 3. Look in verse 3 of our chapter. It says that David did what? He prepared. Look in verse 5. He says in verse 5 at the end of the verse, "I will therefore now make" what? "Preparation for it." It says, so David what? Prepared abundantly before his death. Look in verse 14. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 14. "Now behold, in my trouble, I have" what? "Prepared for the house of the Lord." Look at the end of verse 14. He said, timber also and stone have I prepared. I want you to notice that five times inside of this chapter it says that David prepared, he prepared, he prepared, he prepared, and he made preparation. Friend, five times David prepared. That is one of the key words of this chapter. David understood that there was a need to prepare for some things. I want to ask you this morning, as I read this, this thought came to me. Do we as a church understand the need to prepare for some things? Friend, he understood the need not only to prepare, but especially to prepare before his death. Can I show you maybe five or six things about the preparation that David made, and we can be done this morning? I want you to notice, number one, simply that David understood that he must prepare before he died. He said in verse 5 that he prepared abundantly before his death. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you understand the need that you prepare for some things before you die? It is amazing to me when you look around that mankind has a natural instinct to prepare for some things in life, do we not? I mean, some of us may be better at preparing than others. Some of us may be more of a fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pants sort of people. But friend, I can tell you this, no matter who you are, you prepare for things in life on a daily basis. You say, I don't do that. Friend, you prepare to go to work every morning, don't you? You get dressed, you make your food, you brush your teeth, hopefully. You prepare in some way to go to work. You prepare in some way to go to school. You prepare in some way to go to church. You prepare yourselves for life. That is something built into mankind. God gave that to us so that we might live. Man is something, he is above the beasts of the field in the fact that he plans ahead and he prepares. Friend, animals don't plan ahead. They don't prepare. They're given instincts that they might maybe fly south or that they might collect food. But for the most part, it is God that feeds the sparrow. But God has given man a special something inside of us that we might prepare and plan. Especially in this day and age, we prepare for many things. We prepare for our retirement. We have 401ks and pensions and mutual funds, and we prepare so that way when we're older we can live a full life of retirement. We prepare for our careers. We go to college. We invest our money in our education. We prepare for our kids so that they can be better off than we were. We prepare ourselves with insurance. We have car insurance. We prepare for an accident. We have life insurance. We prepare if we were to die. We have medical insurance. We prepare if we were to get sick. We have a house insurance if our house were to be damaged. We are people that prepare. Mankind naturally desires to prepare himself for everything in life. But what amazes me is there is one thing that most men will not prepare for, and that is preparing for death. Or should I say, what comes after death? We have preparations for death. We have wills. We have attorneys. We want to make sure what we have will go to our kids and be distributed. We have our burial plots. We prepare them before we die. We prepare our funeral home arrangements. We prepare our life insurance. We prepare all these things. But what men do not want to do naturally is prepare for what comes after we die. Friend, there's more to this life than just this life. The Bible teaches us that there is a second death. The Bible teaches us that after death comes the judgment. That is something men do not want to think about. Why is it that you prepare for everything else except for meeting your Maker and meeting your Creator? Men seem to not want to think about that because it troubles them, but also because it convicts them. I have talked to many, many men that I've witnessed to that have said something along these lines. Why can't I just ask God for forgiveness after I die? Whenever I stand before Him, if I'm going to do that, why can't I just ask Him to save me then and make my plea then? Friend, I want you to understand that salvation doesn't work on your own terms. The Bible teaches us that today we must prepare to die, not tomorrow and not after we die, but now is your chance to get right with God. In Amos chapter number 4 and verse 12, he said the famous words, "Prepare to meet thy God." Friend, if you're listening today and you're not saved, I want you to know that now is the accepted time to be saved. Look in verse 5. He said, "I will therefore now make preparation." Not tomorrow, not when I'm on my deathbed, but now, while I still can, I will make preparation before I die. Friend, if you aren't saved, repent today. If you've not been saved, trust in Christ today. If you've not been saved, believe on Him today. If you've not been saved, confess Him with your mouth today that He is your Lord and Savior. Humble yourself today and begin a new life with Him. Many of you that aren't saved, you'll say to me, "Well, Revis, I am preparing to die. I'm doing plenty of good things, so that way my good will outweigh my bad." Friend, that's not how this works. Did you know if you do not accept Christ, you're not storing up good things for heaven, but Romans chapter 2 teaches that you are only laying up for yourselves treasures of wrath. You do not do good to outweigh your bad. If you've not been saved, the only thing you can prepare for God is preparing more wrath for yourself in the day of wrath. Romans chapter 2 verse 5. Friend, if you are not saved, you must be saved today. Prepare to meet thy God. And friend, can I say this? If you are saved, if you are a child of God, you have some preparing to do before you die. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, it talks about the martyrs that will go to heaven. And it says that they will enter into the rest from their labors. And it says that their works do follow them. Understand this. You don't get saved by works. You don't go to heaven because of your works. But after you're saved, your works will follow you to heaven. In other words, what you do today will impact your reward and your eternity and your position in heaven. Don't you study before you take a test? At least you should. Don't you study before an exam? Don't you read up before your interview at work? Don't you prepare yourself to do your job? Why would you not prepare yourself as a Christian before you meet thy God? What does the Bible say in Matthew 19? "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Friend, can I show you number one? David understood that he must prepare before he dies. Why do you put off serving Christ? Why do you put off studying His Word? How many Christians have said, "You know, I need to get in church better, and I need to get more involved. I need to study my Bible more, and I will, but I'm just too busy today." Prepare now. You don't have no promise of tomorrow. Why would you put this off? I want you to notice number two. David understood that he must prepare some things before he died. But secondly, he understood that he must prepare some things simply because God deserved that from him. We are to prepare not only before we die, but we have some things to prepare because God simply deserves that from us. Do you not agree that God is worthy of our praise? That God is worthy of your service? That God is worthy of your faithfulness? That God is worthy of your worship? Friend, in Romans chapter number 10 or 11, I believe it is, he said, "Wherefore, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, and that which is a good and acceptable. And he says that is your reasonable service. In other words, God is worthy of you serving him. God is worthy of you preparing some things for him. Look in 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5. He said, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And listen, he said, the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent of fame and of glory throughout all countries. He said, what I'm doing, I'm not building a storage shed. I'm not building a regular house. I am building something that God will dwell in. And if God is going to dwell in this, then it must be exceeding magnificent. It must be glorious. It must be famous. It must be something God would approve of. Why? Because God is worthy of it. The things that you do for God, can you say that you do them in a manner that is pleasing to God because he's worthy? Or do you put in as much effort and attention as everything else you do? Wouldn't that be lowering God down onto another lower level? Shouldn't what you do for God be above and beyond everything else you do in life? Shouldn't you love God more than you love your spouse? Love God more than you love your children? Love God more than you love your things, your job? He understood that he must prepare because the Lord deserved it. Look in verse 18. He said he charged the princes of Israel. He said, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. In other words, look what God has done for you. Just like the song Ben and Sarah sang, look what God has done for me. Is not he worthy of us making some preparations and getting some things ready in our life? I want you to look, number three. David understood that he must prepare before he died. He must prepare because the Lord deserved it. Number three, he must prepare in despite of his past. Look in verse 8. He said, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. You know what God said to David? David wanted to build the house. David wanted to do it himself. And God said, no, because your hands have shed much blood. You've been a man of war. And I will not let a man of war build my house, but I will let a man of rest build that. In other words, what David had done disqualified himself from building the house. But it did not stop him from preparing to build the house. Let us make this very clear. In the Word of God, it teaches that for certain things, there are qualifications. And if there are qualifications for certain things, that means there are disqualifications. It is a very scary thought to me to know that this office that I hold, this calling as a preacher of the gospel and a pastor, is something that I could be disqualified from if I sin against God and I go against the qualifications in 1 and 2 Timothy. The office of a deacon is something you can be disqualified from. There are things in the ministry that our sins can disqualify us from. Can I ask you a question? Because I know many men and women that have disqualified themselves from certain things because of their past. Does that mean that you aren't saved? No. Does that mean that God is done with you? No. Can you serve in the capacity that God wanted you to? No. Does that mean that you get to give up? No. Friend, can I say this? Everybody has a past. Everybody has done something to blow it in their life. David had done his share. Many of us have done our share. Friend, can I help you to understand that no matter what you've done, you may not be able to do the things that you once did in the service of God, but that does not limit you from serving Him in some way. Friend, there is no reason ever, including our own sin, there is no reason to give up serving God. David could have been defeated. He could have said, well, since I can't build a house, I won't do anything. I'm going to go home to my house. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to watch TV and mow my lawn until I die because I'm just done. David said, I'm not going to do that. David said, I understand that I can't build the house, but I can still give towards it. I may not be able to swing the hammers, but I can make the nails. I may not be able to put the wood on the house, but I can prepare the wood and have it ready for somebody else. I can have the brass. I can gather the workers. I can give. I can prepare the way for the house to be built. Friend, we all have different positions. We may not be able to all do the same thing. There are many members in the body, but it is one body. Friend, you may not be able to do what I do. I may not be able to do what you do. But we can all prepare for the building of God's house. By the way, that is the body of believers. God's house, we ought to be working to prepare for the bride of Christ, for His coming. David prepared in despite of his past. What's your excuse? Notice number four. David prepared for the next generation. He prepared before he died. He prepared because God deserved it. He prepared in despite of his past. And he prepared for the next generation. He knew that what he could not do, God was going to allow his son to do it. He told his son. He charged his son. Look in verse 6. Then he called for Solomon his son, and he charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. In verse 7, David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. Look in verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God. David knew that what he did would prepare for the next generation to serve God in a way that he could not. Can I ask you a question? Do you come to church just enjoying what others have done before you? Or are you preparing for the ones that will come after you? I realize that I am blessed as the pastor of this church, because there have been generations of preachers and deacons and church members behind me that have done preparing. And what they have sown, I and you, we are getting to reap from that now. We are reaping the blessings of their sowing, the preparing that they have done. We see the fruit of that. In this church right here at 326 Emory Heights Road, we see the blessings of that in the ministries that we have. But if all that we do is enjoy what they've prepared, and we don't prepare for the next generation, this church will fall. We've seen 100 years here. We may not get to see 200 years here if we do not prepare now. I pray that the generation after me will get to do things in this church that we do not get to do right now. I pray there are things that are done here that we just aren't set up to do now. But if we prepare and we plow and we sow and we water, God will give that to the generation after us. But if we sit around and do nothing, I guarantee you our church will fall. What are you preparing for the next generation? What do you have to offer your kids spiritually? It sickens me to know all the Christian parents who prepare their kids for baseball and football and sports, knowing good and well they have such a small chance of ever having a career out of that. And yet they do not prepare them to serve the Lord and live for Him, knowing that is the most important thing you can ever do. I have no problem with sports. I have no problem with hobbies. I have no problem with teaching your kids. But you must prepare some things for them spiritually. I thank God I have a heritage that prepared some things for me. There's no way I would be standing here today preaching to you if I did not have some parents that prepared me. Yes, God would still work in my life. Yes, no doubt, if I would listen, God would have still called me to preach. I believe that, but maybe not this young, maybe not this age. I might be somewhere totally different if not for some people that prepared some things for me. What are you preparing? Notice number 5. David prepared before he died. He prepared because the Lord deserved it. He prepared in despite of his past. He prepared for the next generation. And he prepared even when it hurt. Look in verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house. In other words, I have taken trouble to prepare the house. Even whenever it hurt me, even whenever I had to make sacrifices, I prepared to build the house. Friend, are you preparing even when it hurts? Even when you're troubled, even when the devil is troubling you, even when the flesh troubles you, even when the world troubles you, do we prepare even when it hurts us? Look, lastly, and we'll be done. Lastly, he prepared in abundance. He prepared in abundance. There is a great key word in this chapter, prepare. 5 times we see the word prepare, 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 preparation. But there is another key word in this chapter, and it is the word abundance. Look in verse 3. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings, and brass in what? Abundance without weight. Look in verse 4. Also cedar trees in abundance. Look in verse 5. David prepared abundantly before his death. Look in verse number 14. For it is in abundance. Look in verse 15. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance. 5 times he prepared, but 6 times it says he prepared abundantly and in abundance. He not only prepared before he died and because God deserved it, in despite of his past, for the next generation, even when it hurt, but he prepared in abundance. Friend, I don't just want you to prepare, but God wants us to prepare abundantly for him and through him and to him. Don't just go a mile, go 2 miles. Don't just give, but give above what you think you should give. He prepared abundantly. That word abundant means plentiful. Can you say you serve God plentifully? That word abundant means great quantity. Can you say that God has a great quantity of your life? That word abundant means fully sufficient. Is your ministry to God fully sufficient? That word means abounding, overflowing. Is your prayer life, is your studying of God's word, is it overflowing? David prepared abundantly. Do you? Do we? David prepared abundantly. Why? Because God had done abundantly for him. Why is the greatest reason we should serve him abundantly? Because God has done so much for us abundantly. In Exodus 34 and verse 6, he said, the Lord God is abundant in goodness and truth. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he said that he is abundant in mercy. In Titus chapter 3, he said that the mercy of God's been shown unto us and hath been shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. In 1 Timothy, in verse number 1, verse 13 and 14, he says that God has exceeding abundant grace. In Ephesians 3:20, he said that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the riches of his grace. He's exceeding abundant in goodness and truth. He's abundant in mercy. He's abundant in grace. He's abundant in life. God has given to us not just some, but abundantly he has blessed us. We should bless him abundantly because of how much he's blessed us. David understood that. Paul understood that. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, he said in verse number 9, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Listen to verse 10. But, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me. David understood, because God had given and blessed him abundantly, he should bless God abundantly. Paul understood that because God was exceedingly abundantly gracious towards him, Paul wanted to labor abundantly for Christ. Paul could say at the end of his life, "I have kept the faith, I've finished my course, I fought the good fight." In other words, I had prepared abundantly before I died. David could say that. Paul could say that. What about you? Are you saved today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? More importantly, does Christ know you as his child? How about you prepare to meet thy God before it's too late? Are you saved today? If you were to die today, could you say, "I have prepared abundantly before death"? It said of Joshua in Joshua 17 that he left nothing undone. Can it be said of you, "I've left nothing undone in my service to Christ"? How about we prepare before we die? Boy, we have a lot to prepare for. How about we get to it? Friend, you may be at home today. You may not be able to come to church, but you still have a lot you can prepare for right now. How about this? How about we prepare ourselves for whenever we can come back here? How about we don't, it's very easy when we're not able to come to church to fall away instead of grow closer. It's easier to grow accustomed to not going to church than it is to be thirsty to come to church. That's natural. You must prepare your heart. Boy, I would love, I don't know how many days it might be till we can come back, but I would love if every single one of us would come back prepared to serve God with everything we had. I guarantee you our services would be a lot different and a lot better if we prepared for them. How about we prepare today? What's in between you and God that you're not giving your life completely to him? Get rid of it. Make some preparations today. I'm done. I've preached everything God's given me this morning. I'm simply going to pray. We're going to close the service out in prayer. The invitation, although we're not having music today, we're not having an in-person service, the invitation still stands for you today. You kneel down right there on your couch. You kneel down right in front of your family, your wife, your kids. You say, that Revis, that feels silly. They're sitting here with me in my home. Friend, it's never silly to prepare for God. Would you do that today? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, blessed, divine book. Lord, thank you for it. Lord, help us to prepare before we die. Help us to prepare because you deserve it. Help us to prepare in despite of our past. Help us to prepare for the next generation. Help us to prepare even when it hurts. And help us to prepare in abundance. Lord, we thank you. We love you because you first loved us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm excited. We're going to have a good friend of mine. I've known him for many years, Brother Jonathan Bach, a missionary to Canada. And he is going to be preaching for us tonight on our live stream. So I encourage you to tune back in with us 6 o'clock tonight. If we don't start at 6 o'clock on the dot, stay tuned. It may be 3, 4, 5 minutes late, but we will be having service tonight. And we encourage you to listen. Don't go out for a Sunday drive. Don't go out to McDonald's. Stay where you can be in front of your phone or TV, where you can listen and attend God's house, even when you can't be here in person. We look forward to seeing you tonight. Pray and prepare to serve Christ. Thank you.